Hello, man. I'd like to send an encouraging message to you. Perhaps you find yourself locked up with your family with all this extra time, and your fatherhood is being tested. And there's some trials that are going on in the home because you're not out at work, and this is not what you're used to. So I'd like to share with you three things that I think would be good for us men to remember as fathers so that we can be nurturing to our families. So three things. Number one, men, know your identity. Now, here's an awkward question for you. How do you self-identify? What a silly question, yet a politically correct question in our culture. It's a fundamentally flawed question. Why? Because it presumes that a person has the right to identify with whatever desire or ideal just pops into their minds. It's crazy. See, we first have to understand that we have been created by a creator, and our Heavenly Father has fashioned us. We believe in God the Father, creator of heaven and earth. He has created us, and it is He that determines our identity and not the other way around. Now, who does He say we are? Well, in Jesus Christ, through the power of the Spirit, we are the beloved sons of God. We have a Heavenly Father, and we are His beloved Son in Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, it's not enough for us to know this theologically. It's not enough for us to read this in a book. We have to know that we are the beloved Son of God. And if we don't, we are going to act out of our woundedness. You see, St. John Paul II said, man cannot live without love. He remains a being incomprehensible to himself. Unless love is encountered, experienced, unless man makes it his own. See, we need to participate in love. It's not enough to know it theologically. It's not enough to know it intellectually that we are the beloved sons of our Heavenly Father. No, we need to know it deep down inside. We need to go from the classroom to the upper room, because it's the Holy Spirit that imparts into our hearts that deep sense of being loved. It's the Holy Spirit that cries out from within us, Abba, Father. That is the spirit of adoption. And that is ours. That is who we are in Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, why is this so important? Well, unless we know that we are loved, how can we love? We can't nurture our families and our wives, our children, unless we've allowed God the Father to nurture us. You see, we can't be a nurturing father unless we've first been nurtured as a son. And when we aren't nurtured by the love of God, which comes to us often through our earthly fathers and those caregivers, but also just through our experiences in the sacraments and in prayer, if we don't receive that, we're going to be wounded. And wounded fathers raise wounded sons. Now, some woundedness in this world is inevitable because we live in a fallen world, but some is absolutely avoidable. So do you know you are the beloved son of your Heavenly Father in Jesus Christ? If not, what should we do? We got to pray, because in prayer, we're coming into contact with love himself. And so how should we do this? I'm going to give you one tool, just one. I'm going to link to this video, the Stations of the Cross. And when you go and pray through the Stations of the Cross, realize this was all done for you. The passion of Jesus communicates also the passion of the Heavenly Father's love for you, because He's given everything for you, including His own Son. And number two, know your place. Have you noticed that the kingdom of God is a hierarchy and it's not a democracy? There is a king, right? And even if all church triumphant got all together and took a vote and decided they wanted a different king, it just wouldn't matter. Jesus still would reign. Heaven also has a queen, Our Lady. And within this earth, God has also created a certain order within the church, but also within the domestic church, which is the family. And so within the family, God has ordained a proper order that allows His blessing to flow into the family. Everyone has their place. And when people are operating in their place in proper order, God's blessing flows. What is man's place? What's the father's place? He is head of the household. Now, I know that's not a popular thing to say, but it's true. Whether it's unpopular or not, it doesn't matter. It's true. Man is designed by God to be the head of the home. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that we bend the will of everyone around us so that our own wills as fathers are satisfied. It means that we're the first servants. We're the first ones to lay our life down for the good of the family. And I would suggest that we lead, or we are the head in three ways: the head in leadership, the head in protection, and the head in providing. The head in leadership, what does that mean? Well, as fathers, as leaders of the family, we need to have a vision of where our family needs to go, because we're leading somewhere. But if we don't have that vision of where we're supposed to head to, we're just going to be kind of taking a stroll in life. No, God has a definite vision for our family. And what is that? Well, every time God blesses a family with a child, He destines that child to have a crown of salvation placed upon their head. And woe to us fathers if our children do not receive their crown. It is our responsibility as men to do with everything within our power to ensure our children get to heaven. Everything else is a minor detail. Everything else. It does not matter if one becomes a doctor or a lawyer or, you know, ascends the corporate ladders, but they lose their eternal soul. If our child loses their soul, that is the greatest tragedy one could ever imagine. So when we lead as fathers, everything must have that in mind. The decisions that we make for our family always must have the eternal end in mind. And if we don't have that, we're not going to be good fathers. It's that simple. It's that simple. So our leadership has to have an eternal perspective. Number two, we are the head in protecting our family. So that means we have to guard our family from anything that would harm that journey towards heaven. That is our absolute responsibility. And it's critical that we fulfill our role. So a question to all the men out there. Fathers, are you praying spiritual protection prayers for your family? Because Satan wants to destroy your family. That's his plan. Our Heavenly Father wants to bring your children and your wife, by the grace of God, into heaven, which is eternal happiness. So are you praying for their spiritual protection? Because that's our responsibility. If we don't pray for the spiritual protection of our children and our wife, then who will? It's not our neighbor's responsibility. That is ours. So we are the head of leading. We're the head of protecting. And number three, we're the head of providing. Head of providing just materially, so we got to work, and that's a gift, and that's our responsibility, but we're also the head of providing spiritually, and we're also ahead of providing emotionally. We have to meet the needs of our children in all areas. I remember meeting this one man I was speaking, and he was lamenting to me how his wife was leaving him. And he went on and on and on of how he couldn't, why he didn't understand why, because he had provided for them in such a beautiful way. He worked so hard. He had created for them a life of luxury. Indeed, he had. He provided for his family financially, but he left them emotionally and spiritually bankrupt. Everything needs to be in balance. So when we're making our decisions on how we provide, it should not be hurting the spiritual good of our children and our wife. In fact, the material goods that we gain from our work are given to us by God to help us in our spiritual journey. Number three, know your power. Gentlemen, each one of us as fathers have great influence and power over those who have been placed in our care. The question is not if we have influence and power over those people that have been placed in our life. No, the question is this: what kind of influence are we going to have? We are either going to be life-giving or life-draining. And the difference between a life-giving father and a life-draining father comes down to the type of decisions we make as men in our life. So if we live our life according to virtue and do what is right, we're going to have a positive impact on our family. if we act wrongly and we go down the road of vice, then we're going to have we're going to cause tremendous harm on our family members. And here's an extreme example of a man who would be life draining. It is the man who leaves his family, who neglects his fatherhood and actually walks away from it. It causes tremendous pain, tremendous destruction to those who have been placed in his care. For example, 85% of all children who show behavior disorders come from fatherless homes. That's 20 times the average. 85% of all youth in prisons come from fatherless homes. That's 20 times the average. Children from fatherless homes are twice as likely to drop out of school before graduating than children who have fathers in their home. It's a terrible error to believe that we as fathers have little impact in our children's lives, or that our children don't need us. For example, I just heard of a father who was considering leaving his wife, and then he was questioned, well, what about your children? And his response was this, oh, my children are resilient. They're tough. They'll bounce back. That's nuts. That's insane. That's what sin is. Sin is insane. It causes us loss of reason. No, it is our God-given call from God to nurture our children. To walk away from that is a serious thing. A serious thing. We live in a culture that is simply confused about what a man should be and how a man should act. A man, a manly man, is a virtuous man. In fact, vir is a Latin word for man. And virtue comes out of that, is derived from that. So to be a manly man means to be a virtuous man. But we're confused and we think that we need to be a macho man. What's a macho man? A self-absorbed man, fulfilling every adolescent desire that comes through his heart at the expense of other people. I mean, it just causes destruction. We have a lost sense of virtue. And by the way, you can't live virtue unless you know what the virtues are. So if you're hearing this kind of for the first time, you're not sure what the virtues are, I'd really encourage you, this is our responsibility as men to know the virtues, because it makes a lot easier to practice the virtues once you know what they are. Maybe I'll do another series on this. Who's an example of a virtuous man? Well, the perfect example is Jesus Christ. The perfect example. And what did his life look like? Did he have power? Yes, he had power to cast the demons out of people. He had the power to heal people. He was powerful. But how was his power demonstrated? In his humility, in his compassion, in his mercy. And how is our power and influence going to be demonstrated as men in the home? Or how should it be? Through compassion. Through mercy, through forgiveness, through patience. In other words, our power needs to be demonstrated through virtue. Think about Jesus. He's God. He walks on water, multiplies loaves. He calms storms simply at a word. A powerful man. And what happens? He lays his life down to be crucified. At any moment, he could have stopped it. But his true strength was the ability to lay his life down. That's the example for us men of how we should serve our families, to lay our life down for their good. And what is the good of our family? The ultimate good? It's heaven. Everything comes back to that. So the three things to encourage you in your fatherhood: know your identity, know your place, and know your power. And right before I sat down to do this video, my wife was suggesting I do a three-part series on this. So if you'd like more information and that would be a blessing to you, comment below. If there's enough interest, I just might do that. My name is Ken Yuzinski from CatholicSpeaker.com. Thank you for watching.